He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday morning. We're halfway through July. It is the July 15th live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. It's going to be one of those everything is back to normal kind of days in the market, meaning that the Dow futures are up considerably here, up 2.1% or 553 points, while the NASDAQ futures, they're up, but they're up 0.75%. So another big discrepancy, which comes along from time to time, where the Dow outpaces the NASDAQ for the day. But if you look over the last 12 months, 24 months, 36 months, the NASDAQ has run circles around the Dow. But with the coronavirus news here today, everybody thinks we're going to go back to status quo. We'll all be headed back to the theaters. We'll be headed back to the baseball stadiums, the rock concerts, the crowded venues. Anyways, that's what the market is telling us today by this action in the pre-market hours. S&P futures, meanwhile, kind of right in the middle of the Dow and the NASDAQ. S&P futures up 1.5%. Small cap futures up the most, actually, 3.4%. Of course, they are also very sensitive to coronavirus news. It would seem that the spread and the reinfecting rate of the coronavirus, it hits small businesses and small cap stocks the most. Crude oil's up 62 cents, 40.91. That's another back to normal trade today. Gold down $3.40. And last but not least, the 10-year yield is at 0.65% this morning. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. And looks like one of those status quo where the economy is going to return to the good old days today, with Dow futures up about 500 points right now. And that is because of the latest news, which we'll get to here in a minute, on the advances in the vaccine arena. Well, yesterday we had a wild day yesterday. It was all over the place. It was a seatbelt Dramamine kind of day. We were way down in the morning, rallied back, went down, and then closed on the highs of the day, with the cyclicals being the big winners yesterday once again. In fact, the Dow was up 2.1% yesterday. The NASDAQ was up just 1%. Well, that happens from time to time, okay? And it looks like it's going to follow through again today. But I'm not a big fan. I'm not going to be selling and moving all my technology stocks and growth stocks over to cyclical dividend paying, for the most part, soggy stocks. But every dog has his day, and the Dow stocks look like they're going to have another good day today. The energy stocks had a huge day yesterday. They were up 3.5%. I don't have much interest, however, in the energy sector right now, so we'll call it the back to normal trade. You've got all these different trades. You've got the work-from-home trade. You've got the back-to-normal trade. You've got the virtual, doing everything over Zoom and different channels trade. You got the electric vehicle trade. You got the what-if-Biden-wins trade, what-if-Trump-wins trade. And they're all converging here at the same time. Thank goodness for the Best Stocks Now app. That's all I can say. which cuts through it all. The Best Stocks Now app is apolitical, a-religious, has no opinions of its own, no bias. It just cuts through right to the numbers, which is very important, in my opinion, in today's world that is so tainted and twisted and manipulated and spun. And, you know, let's just get to the raw news and the raw numbers. That's where I try to do my most of my focus. Well, vaccine hopes. Here we go. Back to normal trade is taking place across the globe after early data from a Moderna coronavirus vaccine. Now, these are the guys, mostly Harvard people, with the CEO from France, raised hopes for a return to status quo. Well, we're not back to status quo. You know, that's still very, you know, we went to a local restaurant last night. We were the only ones in the restaurant. We talked, it's a good little place too. We talked to the waitress. She says, you know, since we've had the re-upping of the, and the comeback in the vac, in the coronavirus, our business has just plummeted to next to nothing other than the little takeout business that we do. So we're definitely a long ways from status quo. And of course, a coronavirus vaccine would go a long ways to bringing us back to some semblance of normality. We're seeing the back to normal trade. Well, that shows up in the travel sector, the leisure sector, the restaurant sector, the mall sector, et cetera, the theaters and the Disney, the leisure parks, the theme parks, et cetera. Every time we get some sort of positive news on the vaccine front, then we look at the areas that have been hit the hardest, and that's what we're seeing today in the market. The Globe is also looking at this news from Moderna and another major player, We don't own Moderna here. We own actually a competitor, a big, large drug company that has other products that is not reliant. Moderna pretty much is going to live or die by whether or not they make it to the vaccine, whereas the other big player in all of this has a very healthy, growing business with or without the vaccine. We'll get to that in a bit. You had Japan up 1.6% overnight on the Moderna news. Europe did pretty well. Paris up 1.2%, taking the cue from that Moderna news. It seems to be kind of a neck-to-neck. In the horse racing parlance, when two horses go at it around the track, head-to-head, neck-to-neck, head-to-head, nose-to-nose, I remember the great Affirmed versus Ali Dar. Any horse race fan will remember that great matchup. They went at it three times in the Triple Crown, and every time Affirmed end up on the front end by just the scantest of noses. I see this race between Moderna. Actually, it's about a three- or four-horse race right now. But today, it looks like Moderna, and you've got now AstraZeneca going head-to-head with Moderna. Now, they're teamed up with Oxford University. AstraZeneca, the Oxford COVID-19 vaccine that is backed by AstraZeneca, is generating the kind of antibody and T-cell killer cell response that the researchers would hope to see, reports Robert Peston, saying the first data is due to be published in The Lancet. That said, the efficacy will only be properly established in the large Phase 3 program that is underway in the viral epicenter of Brazil. Interesting. Well, let's not think. Remember that movie, The Boys from Brazil, Gregory Peck? Let's hope they're not coming up with some kind of concoction down there in Brazil. Brazil has been hit very hard. I want to say Brazil is number two in the world with deaths overall. But that's where they're doing the phase three trials amongst a big group of people. And right now you've got AstraZeneca shares are up about 4% in the pre-market, and you got Moderna shares up about 15% in the pre-market. And let's not forget, you've also got the Pfizer-BioNTech tag team out there, and Novavax and Inovio. Well, you know what? The more players there are, the more chances there are for someone coming up with that winning combination. So we're rooting for that vaccine. In the meantime, the big chill between us and China continues to get chillier. Well, that's not exactly getting back to normal, is it? Remember how that big chill impacted the market a couple of years ago. What's going on now between us and China? More on that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, the big chill continues to get chillier. Trump signs law and order targeting China on Hong Kong. President Trump says in an ongoing Rose Garden appearance that he's signed the Hong Kong Autonomy Act, an overwhelmingly bipartisan measure. That means both the Democrats and the, this doesn't happen very often, for to get them agree on anything that passed Congress unanimously. It looks to penalize banks linked to Chinese interference in Hong Kong. He also signed an executive order ending preferential treatment for Hong Kong in order to hold China accountable for oppressive actions. Well, here's the surprise. China makes a massive deal for U.S. corn. Maybe that happened before he signed the deal. I don't know. China, before he signed the law, China booked its largest ever purchase of U.S. corn, 1.76 metric tons, the U.S. Department of Agriculture reports, as it seeks to meet agricultural targets set in phase one of the U.S.-China trade accord. Well, that's surprising, okay? They made a huge buy of corn from U.S. farmers. But now, this morning, China is saying that they vow retaliation over the Hong Kong sanctions. Retaliation. What kind of retaliation could we see? Sending back the corn? I don't know. Dumping the corn on Washington, D.C.? I don't know what's going to happen. But they are vowing retaliation. Now, remember, this whole trade issue between the U.S. and China held the market hostage throughout much of 2018. That was the year of the big tax cut, which added 20% to the earnings of the S&P 500. All things being equal, the market should have went up 20%. In 2018, but it didn't because of the fighting that went back and forth, the tariff war that went back and forth between the U.S. and China. The market waited until 2019 to build in that tax cut and that big hike that it led to in S&P 500 earnings. Now, the reason I bring that up is the presidential race is disclosing the platform of each of the candidates. And, of course, in Joe Biden's platform is to roll back the tax cuts given to corporate America. Why is that important for the stock market or to a money manager or to an individual investor? Because that would take away 20% from S&P 500 earnings, okay? You take away 20% from S&P 500 earnings, and all things being equal, the market would fall 20%. And in addition to that, as we're seeing Joe Biden's platform, he's also calling for a big hike in the capital gains tax as high as 40%, which also would discourage a lot of investors in the stock market. So you got to keep all of this. All of these things are flying around in the air that we have to take into account as we're getting with inside of 100 days. Not quite, but we're almost there with inside of 100 days until the election in November. And it, either way it goes, it will have a big impact on the stock market and your investing. The Bronco is sold out. Well, they only had 3,500 reservation slots. They sold out very quickly. The two-door model starts at $59,305. Boy, I still remember my first little truck that I bought right out of high school. It wasn't $59,305. Maybe in adjusted for inflation it was. The four-door comes in at $63,500. It's a good sign of demand for the retro SUV, which is furthering the Blue Oval's push into the off-road adventure category. The Bronco could contribute nearly $1 billion to Ford's North American operations. Well, Ford is still in the rearview mirror of Tesla at $250 billion in market cap. Ford is a tiny little company compared to Elon Musk, electric vehicle company. More bad news for Boeing. Boeing reports 60 more. Hey, we haven't heard anything about them getting back in the air lately. What happened to that? Boeing reports 60 more MAX cancellations in June. Well, it's not only COVID. I mean, it's not only the software and waiting for the approval from the government, but you've also got the COVID, which is just trash the demand for flying at the current time. Of course, the airline stocks are going to be up today because there's news, there's good news on the vaccine front. Well, let's see. Here's what a couple of bond guys are saying. You know, Bill Gross, do I really listen to his opinion on the stock market? Well, he's been around for a long time. PIMCO co-founder Bill Gross expects value stocks to outperform the big growth stocks in the near term. Well, he's right today. But you know how many times I've heard that prediction over the last several years? The problem is most of the value stocks aren't growing. And if I'm right, and I believe I am, that stocks follow earnings, I prefer growth stocks versus value stocks because as those earnings continue to grow and grow and grow, and at a rapid, rapid pace, the faster the better, the stock is going to follow. Whereas most of your value stocks, you're looking at bank stocks, you're looking at financials, you're looking at industrials with very, very slow growth rates, single digits for the most part. So, yeah, you can take it for what it's worth. Bill Gross expects value stocks to outperform the big growth stocks. He's right today. We'll see about tomorrow and the next day and the next year and the next 2 years. Here's some of his favorites. Altria Group. Okay, that's cigarettes. Oh, he likes IBM. Now, there's a perfect example of a 2 to 3% grower. And ABV, A-B-B-V. All right, okay, take it for what it's worth. Shopify's going to have a competitor. Well, you know, the first one out of the gate is usually hard to catch. And once you grab that market share, look at the search engine market, look at Google, the lead they got, and all the attempts that have been made to clip away at that lead is pretty hard. Nevertheless, there's a company coming out. We're going to keep our eye on this one. BIGC, Big Commerce, going to be a Shopify competitor. I've got that one on my watch list. Write down the symbol, BIGC. Shopify has been one of the biggest winners for us and one of the biggest winners in the market over the last few years. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio. There's a lot in the air coming up here in the second half of the show. We've got several upgrades to stocks that we own, stocks that are in the news today. A whole new revolution taking place. Now, I'm the one that told you guys about telemedicine. Well, there's a new one. We'll get to that in a minute that is in the air. Something in the air. Look at how Teladoc, look at the performance of Teladoc over the years. Well, there's a whole new sector that could be about ready to take off. And through the airwaves, we'll get to that here in a bit. In the meantime, we've got to remember the movie, one of my favorite movies. Now, we watch this every Christmas. It's a sappy movie, but you got to watch A White Christmas with Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye, one of the great movies of all time. There's a part in the movie where Bing Crosby looks into bringing the whole act, his whole troupe of performers, up to this little hotel in Vermont where the general's hotel. And he calls his manager and says, how much is it going to cost to bring this troop up here? And he just kind of has a blank expression on his face, you know, when he hears the number. Then he goes to tell his business partner, Danny Kaye. He says, I talked to him, got a price for bringing the, Bing Crosby says, wow. When he hears the number, he goes, wow, over the telephone. And Danny Kaye says, how much is wow? Well, Elon Musk said, wow. Now, he doesn't say wow very much. We're usually saying wow to Elon Musk comments. Tesla's shares yesterday, and they've kind of turned the market around from my perspective when this came out. Wow was CEO Elon Musk latest response to Piper Sandler, not Adam Sandler, Piper Sandler, more than doubling of its price target on the electric vehicle maker. Okay, Danny Kaye, here's how much wow is. They are raising their target price on Tesla from $939, of course it was at $1,500 yesterday, to $2,322. Now, when I saw that news cross the line yesterday, I saw the NASDAQ turn around on a dime. Not on a dime, on $1,000 bills. $2,322 is the target price on Tesla from Piper Sandler. And that's all Elon Musk could say was wow. Well, how much was wow? $2,322. In the meantime, Texas continues to woo Mr. Musk, trying to bring his gigafactory to Austin, the county that's home to Austin's bid for a new Tesla plant has approved tax breaks of at least $14.7 million for the automaker. And a free brisket from Austin Barbecue every day. No, but they're trying to woo them, locating a new $1.1 billion Franklin Barbecue in the area. Shares of the automaker are up 2.8%. Again, that was in the after hours last night. Tesla has envisioned 5,000 jobs at the new plant. What are they going to build? The Cybertruck. Will we see cyber trucks roaming the lands of Texas in a sometime in the future? I think Texas will get the bid. Now, what are mall owners thinking of these days? Trying to get people back to the malls. Well, they've been rethinking a lot of the malls, making them entertainment venues, restaurants, whatnot. Well, now mall owners are looking to make money off their parking lots. The coronavirus pandemic is leaving retail real estate owners scrambling for new revenue sources. Brookfield Property Partners has signed a deal with entertainment company Kilburn Live to turn the parking lots at a number of malls into drive-in theaters and virtual concerts. If we can't rent the mall, we're going to rent other space. We actually have tons of ideas for our parking lots. All right, rethinking the mall. I don't think the food court's going to be a very popular item anymore. Massachusetts, they're going after Uber and Lyft. Now, you know that California has been saying to Uber and Lyft, those people are not in contractors, private contractors. They're employees. And they seem to be, so far, they're the only state saying that. But now you got Massachusetts that is wanting to classify drivers as employees rather than contractors. This is a big problem. The lawsuit threatens to eliminate work for more than 50,000 people in Massachusetts who are said drivers at the worst possible time, added Lyft spokesman. Drivers don't want this. 89% of Massachusetts Lyft drivers drive fewer than 20 hours per week and choose to drive rideshares precisely because of the independence it gives them to make money in their spare time. So the fight goes on. Mortgage rates, the lowest rates since surveys were begun on this industry. 3.19%. Refinance volumes continue to grow as mortgage rates drop to 3.1%. How much is wow? How little is wow? 3.19%. Today only, the lowest in survey history. By the way, the market is up 300 right now, so it's not up the 500 points that it was threatening to be up. And actually, the NASDAQ is, however, up exactly what we thought, about 7/10. NASDAQ up 71 right now. But here we go again. The airline sector is rallying. I have no interest off of vaccine developments. We're seeing rallies today in Delta, United Airlines, Love, JetBlue, etc. No thanks. A very nice earnings report out of United Health. That's good news. Now, that would be another sector that one has to watch. In fact, that's kind of been a sector to watch as far as the polls and what the market is expecting in November. It seems to me that so far, the market has kind of discounted the upcoming presidential election. It's been too concerned with the COVID virus and the vaccines and the stay-at-home, the pajama economy, etc. But there's got to come a time here where, you know, the huge gap, the differences between the two candidates start trickling into the market, and then a tidal wave into the market. The healthcare sector would be one that would be greatly impacted. It would seem that Joe Biden is leaning towards, possibly, although he pretty much wants to keep the status quo in Obamacare, but he is being pushed pretty hard towards single payer, and that would be the death knell for many of these insurance companies like United Health Group. United Health reported stellar earnings today, stellar revenues, but the stock is down 1.4%. So, yeah, there's some nervousness. Whenever Bernie Sanders took a lead in the polls over Joe Biden, you would see the healthcare stocks just get slaughtered and the pharmaceutical stocks. So we got to keep our eye on that sector. I keep my eye on IYH, which is the healthcare proxy ETF. And the banking sector would also be greatly impacted one way or another between who wins the November election, with Elizabeth Warren supposedly will play a big part in the economy of a Biden administration. And you also got to look long and hard at the energy sector, wherein Joe Biden is leaning on AOC to help him with his energy policy, which leans heavily towards or away from fossil fuels. So you would have to keep your eye also on IYE, which is the energy sector. For me, those are the three biggest sectors that would be impacted right now, one way or another, depending upon the outcome of the November election. Okay, I have one, two, three of my stocks are in the news, and I have a brand new sector. It's an old sector, but it's a new sector. Telemedicine, what's next? Teleeducation? Oh, I think it's coming. We'll be right back with the major player in that. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. I got to get in three stories here in the remaining 7 or 8 minutes I've got. So I'm going to have to go really fast here. Number one, we're seeing an upgrade on AMD. They're getting an upgrade of target price from 60 to 65. I continue to own AMD. The stock is flat today, however, on the news. Teleeducation, you know, I've always said that that is coming, you know, this business of going away to college and living in the dorms and all this and that. It just seems that COVID may be a big catalyst to changing, revolutionizing that whole industry. I mean, from kindergarten to 12 to college, there is a stock called K-12. It's been around. It's not new, but it is kind of the de facto leader in the industry. I like Andrew Leff's take on this. Citron Research calls K-12 the teledoc of learning. K-12 is outperforming the greater market, up more than 6% in the first minutes of trading, after Citron Research puts out a positive note on the technology-based education company, calling it the teledoc of education. Well, I continue to own teledoc. I continue to I've had a, it's one of the biggest winners I ever found. It's telemedicine, where you talk to your doctor through your computer. And now education could be going the same way. K-12 would definitely be one to keep your eye on. The symbol is LEARN, L-R-N. Citron puts a $100 target price on the Herndon, Virginia-based company. That would be a triple from the price where it is right now. Well, we'll see where it goes. I definitely have it on my watch list. It's currently ranked number 545. And there's other players in that area. I've been watching CHGG, which is Chegg. They make online textbooks. Lope is another one, L-O-P-E. Two is another one, T-W-O-U. BFAM, B-F-A-M is another one. Teleeducation, with all the controversy about the schools opening back up or not. It's pretty easy to pick my featured stock of the day today. It's got to be AstraZeneca, which has big news. They're making progress in the duel for the vaccine. AstraZeneca is up today. It's breaking out. Read our recent articles. You know what? We liked AstraZeneca before they ever became a player in the vaccine race. That would be frosting on the cake and maybe whipped cream and a cherry and a candle and a firecracker and all of that if they were to be the ones that come up with the vaccine. AstraZeneca is currently ranked AZN number 360 in my Best Stocks Now app. It's put up some eye-popping numbers over the last 12 months, over the last 3 years, 38% per year return average, 9.1% for the market. It's a dividend payer. I mean, what more do you want? Cherries, whipped cream, birthday candles, frosting, whipped cream in between the layers of the cake? What do you want? The dividend yield right now, which represents the whipped cream, 2.4% dividend yield. Now, this company is out of the United Kingdom, got ties to Switzerland also. It is a large cap company with a market capitalization of, I want to say 200 billion. Let me see where that market cap, 139 billion mega cap. Annual revenues of 25 billion. PEG ratio. Okay, we talk a lot about valuation of the market. I want to make 2 points on that in the final few minutes of the show. It's still a market of stocks as opposed to a stock market. The PEG ratio on AstraZeneca is 1.1. I mean, that is very, very reasonable. So you can talk all you want about the 22 forward PE on the S&P right now. There's still a lot of stocks within the market that are very reasonable. And now, the other point I'd like to make, that 22 forward PE, do you know that what the Fed has done is unprecedented? There has never been the massive, not even in 08 and 09, the massive stimulus that has been thrown at this, and them standing by saying there's no limit to what we'll do. Well, you know what that does to the PE ratio of the market? It justifies an unheard of PE ratio because of the massive stimulus that's been thrown at. I'm seeing many market analysts, economists, etc., stretching their PE ratios on future earnings to 20 to 22, when the average over the long haul has been more in the 16.5 area. And you say, well, that's not justifiable, that's not sustainable, but you have to remember at the same time, this has been the biggest wave of stimulus and liquidity in the history of the market. So that does call for historically high PE ratios. You see, it's all tied together. You see how, and the interest rate. What did I just say? Record mortgage rate, low mortgage rate in the history of mortgage rates. We've never seen a mortgage rate. This is justifying and causing the PE ratio of the market to be stretched like it's never been stretched before. But these are unprecedented times with the Fed and the stimulus being thrown at this. Well, there's a lot to think about. There's a lot to stay on top of here in the market. I have to look at the news every day and throughout the day and weigh it out in my own mind and see the impact that it's having on stocks. You cannot invest in your opinion or what you think should happen. You have to look at the market and what it is doing. And then you have to say it's doing this for a reason. Okay, it is not disconnected. Oh, there's some disconnect today in certain stocks and areas. But I come back to it's a market of stocks. You look at an AstraZeneca with the PEG ratio of 1.1. That certainly is not stretched. All right, well, if you'd like to talk to us, we're the guys to talk to. We've had an unprecedented surge of new accounts. I have been so busy putting money to work every day from the money flowing into Gunderson Capital Management. We must be doing something right. Why don't you get on board with us? 855-611-BEST. GundersonCapital.com. Check out the newsletter and the results we've been achieving for folks. GundersonCapital.com, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
Solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.